Morning, everybody. Lovely to be here today. For those of you who haven't met me before, my name's Sonia. I'm a pioneer minister in this area. So I work quite closely with James. This reading today was a tricky one. It urges us not to worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, going to drink, and going to wear. Now, out of all the things you worry about, eating and drinking, probably a priority worry, yeah? Probably a quite important thing to worry about. And it's really quite difficult to think that God knows those little things that we need and would provide for us. I'm not being flippant when I say don't worry about it. If you worry about your food and your clothes and you do not have enough, then please tell someone. Don't hold it into yourself. Tell someone in this church. Tell Reverend James. Your needs will be provided. Remember, quite often, God provides our needs by our brothers and sisters. So that's the first thing I want to say. It's not a flippant thing saying, do not worry. But I don't think that this passage means sit on your bum all day in your house and food will just appear in front of you. It's not like that, is it? Definitely not. I think that this passage is about our priorities and that God knows the small stuff as well as the big stuff. He can provide anything right down to our breakfast cereals. He can provide for our needs and he's aware of our likes and our dislikes. Has anybody ever had someone give them something and it happened to be their favourite something? That's because God knows us. He knows what we like. He knows what we're into. I moved into a flat once and the children's bedroom, the smallest bedroom in the house, was Man United wallpaper all over it. Red and black big fat stripes all over it. I was dead chuffed. Other people might not have been, but for me, I was truly dead chuffed. This flat was made for me and that was the sign of it for me. So I think it's talking about priorities. Our priorities particularly. Very apt for harvest, being a season of thanks for all we have, a season for sharing, giving, generosity, but also receiving help from others. It's not just that we give at harvest, but it's also those we give to, or what we receive from others as well that we're giving thanks for. We're giving thanks for what we receive from God in the first place, so we can share it. So I was struck by something the other day that I'd like to share with you. About 18 years ago, my husband bought me a ring. And it came in a bag a bit like this, not this specific bag, but it came in a bag like this. And inside was a box, this is the box, that had lovely little gold things in around the edges of the top of the box. Very sweet little box. And when you open the box, it's got some cushioning and padding on there, on the inside, and I couldn't figure out what the padding was for, but it's so that it doesn't even rattle. There's another box inside it, but it doesn't even rattle. Whatever's in there must be really precious and important, right? Must be majorly important, this thing. Inside this box is the ring box. The ring box again has got gold little patterns around the edges of the top. It looks a bit leathery. Probably not, but who knows? It looks a little leathery. It's got a metal clasp on it that you've got to undo, and if you're not good with fiddly things, you won't manage it. And then inside, it has a little velvet cushion with a slit in it for the ring to go in. And it has the name of the jewellers inside the lid there, in gold again as well, because, you know, very special and important. The jewellers itself is actually a jewellers in a shopping centre that's just like the Eastgate shopping centre. What's her name here? Sarah Beth, the Royals, Southend-on-Sea. The Royals is like saying Sarah Beth, Eastgate shopping centre, Gloucester. It's not actually as posh as it makes out, is it, really? It wasn't bought in Birmingham or in London or any of the particularly gold areas. But the way it's packaged seems to stress that there's something extremely precious and valuable in here, doesn't it? It's got three layers of packaging on this thing, and it's not even allowed to rattle. Now, this is the ring. I wear it every day of my life. I wear it no matter what my hands are going into, and it survives perfectly fine. Down the allotment or whatever, it survives. You could probably hit it with a hammer, it'd be fine. You could throw it down the stairs, it would be fine. But given its packaging, you probably wouldn't think that, would you? The amount of care and protection and that extra bit of cushioning so it doesn't even rattle around in there gives you the impression that it's extremely precious. Now let me compare that with something else. My mobility scooter, which is just there. My mobility scooter, its monetary value is at least double the cost of the ring. I didn't ask my husband the exact price of the ring, but I got a rough idea. The mobility scooter didn't come in a special box, fitted out with the right shape so each bit could fit in the right shapes. It didn't have a big bow on it. I just went to the shop and picked it up. In fact, the only thing it did have on it is there's the console that are the controls for the scooter of the speed, and it tells me how much battery there is. There was a very thin piece of plastic, like you get on a new watch, just to protect that bit of glass on the front there that you peel off when it arrives. That was it. And I was told that the only part of the scooter that is not waterproof is that bit, the console, where all the electrics are. But I had to buy the cover to protect that most precious part of that scooter separately. Now for me, my scooter is extremely valuable. Reverend James knows. He came to my rescue last week when it was broken and he had to ferry me around a bit. The scooter was broke and I felt like my legs had literally been chopped off because I can't do more than a few hundred yards without it. So to me it's valuable, and in monetary ways it's actually double the price of the ring. But somehow the gold and the sapphires and a couple of little diamonds got the best treatment of all. Isn't that strange? Isn't that funny? How some things are valued differently to other things. And there's not really much of a reason. Yes, it's hard to get hold of some of the stones and things, but then you'd think that then would cost more than something else, wouldn't you? The world tells us things are precious. But then we have to decide what's precious and what's most important for ourselves, in spite of what the world says. Does anybody have something really precious to them that they'd like to tell me about? And tell me what makes it precious. Your daughter. What makes her precious? Okay, because she's been through a lot. I'm just repeating so everybody hears. Lovely, thank you. Anybody else got something precious? It can be an object, it doesn't matter. Oh, lovely, let's have a look. Oh, that's beautiful. Your parents bought it for you for your 18th? Lovely. Beautiful. What does that remind you of? What does it make you think about?
Because I love and care. I care for it.
You care for it? You take a lot of care of it?
The stone dropped out one time.
Right.
And I thought I was going to lose it. It dropped out in the bathroom, in the bath, and it didn't go down the drain. So.
Ah, the stone dropped out one time and she thought she was going to lose it, but it didn't go down the drain.
No, and I got fixed.
Wonderful. Yeah. It's a very precious present. Is it precious because it's from your mum and dad, or is it precious because of the stone and stuff? Because it's from your mum and dad, yeah. What a lovely gift, thank you. What a lovely gift. So, things are precious to us for different reasons, aren't they? Maybe not about the money so much, but they can be. My mum was extremely poor, and so she brought me up with slightly warped, different views on money, really. And if you spent a lot of money on something, and a lot could have been a fiver, frankly, if you spent a lot of money on something, it was precious, it was important. Don't trash it, don't ruin it, don't break it, don't do all sorts of things to it. And it didn't really matter how much it was worth. Everything was extremely precious, and she used to get quite stressed about that stuff. Really quite stressed about it. So spending 20 quid on something would be a massive deal and very stressful. And I took on some of that as I grew up, and that was quite difficult for me to get past that. So if we're not supposed to be focusing on maybe what the world looks at, and we're supposed to acknowledge that God will take care of us, what are we supposed to concentrate on? The passage says that we're to seek first the kingdom of God. In one of the passages I read, it said, strive first for the kingdom of God. Strive meaning work hard, almost, maybe. And as we can see in this passage, yet again, God's kingdom and God's ways are upside down to the world's ways. They compare lilies in the field as being better than what Solomon was wearing when Solomon was all dressed up. Now, one of the things Solomon wore was purple cloth. And his purple cloth was more expensive than gold, because the purple dye that was used was got from little mollusks, like little clam type things. A tiny bit of dye came out of each of them, and the dye never faded. So it's a very, very expensive dye, assuming you don't get much from a little shell type thing. So he really was dressed up, and his lifestyle was spectacularly. Everything in his palace was gold and stuff. All his knives and forks and everything he used was all made of gold. But then in the passage it says that the lilies in the field are even better dressed. And if God's going to take care of the grass, how much better will he take care of us? God's kingdom and God's ways are always upside down to the world. They're always opposite. Jesus, in his ministry, constantly and consistently spoke with people that weren't even allowed in the temple because they were seen to be so unclean, so manky, and so rubbish. He constantly did the opposite. He hung around with lepers and women of lousy reputation. He healed those who couldn't enter the temple because of their illnesses and their diseases. Even though he and the disciples needed support in getting food and drink as they travelled and somewhere to stay, they didn't store up a load of stuff and travel with a big cart full of things that they needed, did they? They didn't start up a chain of hotels across the area for them to sleep in as they moved to each place. They relied on the generosity of others and God providing places and food and things they needed. Focusing on God's kingdom means doing things his way, not the world's way. And it's a bold thing to step out and do things differently. This can mean very basic things like generosity, sharing, giving freely. It can also mean humbling ourselves and receiving from others, asking for what we need, maybe not being too independent and capable and managing all by ourselves, because that's something to be proud of these days, isn't it? In God's kingdom, we would humble ourselves and ask for help when we need it. In the world's way, we would be proud of how self-sufficient we are. Living in God's kingdom, we would be looking to him for our self-worth. Not people around us, not a magazine, not one of these chat pages, mum's or dad's chat pages that tells you what stuff you should be buying and what's the best this, that and the other to do the jobs you need to do. But we should look to him. It takes courage to live in the kingdom of God and courage to share generously. Not just our stuff, but his love, his forgiveness, and his story. Remember, we've been given that too. So, I'd like everyone to take a minute to themselves. Have you got that leaf and a pen or a pencil? I want you to have a little ponder to yourself and think about something that you might want to do differently. Now, last time I had people write on a post-it, they wrote on a post-it and left it at church. So, when you write on the post-it the thing you're going to maybe do a bit differently, oh, maybe I need to give a bit more, or maybe I need to tell people when I need something. Whatever it is that you can think of, write it on your post-it and take it home with you. Put your post-it in your pocket or Bible or on the fridge so that you can ask God about that and you can talk to God about that during the week. I'll give you some thoughts of what it might be. Obviously, put down whatever you want. It could be that you decided you need to be practically a bit more generous. You need to share a bit more. It could be that you've decided that you need to focus on how much God loves you as you are and stop trying to follow the world's standards and keep up with the latest things. It could be that you need to branch out a bit and include others in this community. Maybe people you don't usually hang around with. So be more generous with your friendships. It could be sharing Jesus' love and forgiveness with others. That great gift that we've been given. And it might include humbling ourselves. Asking God to forgive us for the times when we failed and to focus on his kingdom. Please do take these leaves home with you. You can make a commitment and a decision in a service, but it often doesn't stick when we get back home. Or we need reminding again what it was about. So please do take them home. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this harvest season, we thank you for all that we have and all that we receive. We're sorry for the times when we forget to put your kingdom ways and your values first. Give us wisdom as we adjust our priorities. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.